We're into our last part, our last week of this series, and so some of you may be grateful for that. Some of you may want more. I don't know. I've really enjoyed this study. It's been challenging. It's been something to remind me each and every week to continue to be a witness, continue to look for those opportunities that God has given me, and to be conversational in my witness. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 5 to start. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 15 and 16 as we begin today. We're going to go ahead and read this, 15 and 16, then we'll pray, and then we'll go ahead and get into the study. Matthew 5, verse 15 and 16. Very familiar passage. We sung songs about this passage when we were little kids, when we sung "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." You remember that song? And this is a passage that's part of the Sermon on the Mount, and so it's very familiar to people who were either raised in church or have been in church at some point in their life. It says this: "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come and to get into your word today. I pray that you'll teach us through this time. I pray that you'll be the focus during this time. Lord, I pray that you'll challenge us through your word, Holy Spirit, that you'll work within us to enable us to put these things to practice. Lord, over the last 7 weeks, we've been talking through being a witness through our conversations about you, looking for daily ways that we can take everyday conversations to you. And so, Lord, I pray that we have started to put this to practice, and I pray that we will continue to live lives of witnessing to those around us through conversations. Lord, help us not to take this lightly, but to be serious about this, Lord, to make plans today to put to practice what you have been teaching us over the last many weeks. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to indeed be this description here, a light to the world, that we won't hide what we are in you, but that we will freely proclaim you to those around us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. This brings us to principle number 8, and it's this: developing a lifestyle of sharing Jesus consistently flows out of a plan to share Jesus regularly. Okay? So, basically, if we want to have this lifestyle of sharing Jesus, then we need to have a plan to do it. We need to go into each day with the plan that I'm going to share Jesus with those. Talk about here in Matthew 5, 15 and 16, that we are indeed a light to the world. Many times instead, maybe we don't plan to hide our light and put it under a basket, but many times we do, instead of sharing Jesus, we don't talk about him at all. We see this passage, and many times we only think about our visual witness because we think of a candle or a light being visual. That's something that you see with just your eyes. But have you ever been in a quiet room? I know if you have kids, it's hard to get to the point where it's like quiet. But in a quiet room, maybe you live on a main stretch of road, and so you don't get that quiet room very often. But if you're ever in a quiet room and a candle's lit, and you actually listen, the candle actually makes noises. There's actually like a flickering. And if you got one of those wood wick candles, you've seen those the last few years, have been pretty popular. Those make a lot of noise.
But even a regular candle will flicker and make some noise as it's lit. And so when you see this passage, you can't just go, oh, it's just a visual presentation of living out the gospel message. No, yes, it is that. But also there is noise to light. And so I want to encourage you to not just think about our visual representation of the gospel message and how we live, because many times that's all we focus on as believers, and we never open up our mouths. And so I want to challenge us in this. Yes, you need to be a visual representation of Christ to those around you, but if you're going to be a visual representation of Christ to those around you, you need to be like Christ in your words as well, and the way we talk and the way we share. And Jesus shared himself verbally with all those around him, pointing to the hope that was found in him alone. And so we need to do the same as lights in this world and go into our daily lives looking to share Jesus consistently throughout our lives and having a plan to do this. We're going to get to that plan in a second. I want to ask you this question, really a few questions. As a witness for Jesus, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? I'm not talking like location here. I'm not saying, well, I want to be in Rossville. I'm okay here. I'm good here. Or I want to be overseas or whatever. I'm not asking that. But what is your goal in sharing Jesus? Would you like to openly and freely share Jesus to complete strangers around you? Would you like to be that person that when a waitress comes to your table, you're asking them, hey, how can I pray for you today? Well, what's a way that I can lift you up to Jesus in prayer? And you start a conversation about Jesus. Is that the type of person you want to be? Or are we content with where we are? Are we content being a person that maybe you are like that first description? Or maybe you're like this description where you go to church, and really the time in church is the only time that Jesus has ever talked about, and then you leave. Where are we? Where do we want to be? What is our goal in sharing Jesus with those around us? And I hope that through this study, you've started to develop a goal of, man, I want to be sharing Jesus with my neighbors. I want to be sharing Jesus with my coworkers and my family through conversations. And I just want to be real with those around me of what Jesus has done in my life and openly share that. And so I don't want to be the person that pushes a bunch of people away. I don't want to be the guy on the street corner with the megaphone yelling that people are going to hell. I don't want to be that person. But I want to be the person who's real with those around me, and that every single person that I encounter knows that my hope alone is in Jesus. And so I hope that you start to develop a vision for that. I read this passage in the book as I was going through it this week, and it says this: the vision for your life doesn't start with you. It starts with God who created you. If we grasp God, which we can't totally grasp God, I understand that. But if we understand God created us, and he has an amazing plan for our lives, and that Jesus came and he died for us, and we have accepted that salvation in Jesus alone, we believe in him as Lord and Savior of our life, then that should change us to want to also hold out that same hope to those around us. There's a total difference when you encounter a Christian that's on their deathbed and someone who has no hope that's on their deathbed. Believers in Christ talk about the hope they have. They talk about eternity. They talk about seeing Jesus. Those who do not know Christ are fearful. They don't want to die. They don't want to go. And so this hope that we have from the time that we know Jesus to the time that we go to be with Jesus should be proclaimed, because we start to grasp the Creator who has made us, because we start to grasp his love for us. Going on, it says, the vision of your life doesn't start with you, it starts with the God who created you. When you grasp the greatness of God's story, and that the gospel story changes you, only then are you ready to live the life you were created to live. That's the big why in life. You and I were created to know and glorify God. And only through the work of Jesus for our salvation can we bring glory to Him. When we see the big picture of the gospel, we understand God created each of us uniquely to glorify Him based on who we are. The gifts, the talents, as Rod talked about earlier, gifts and talents and circumstances, all of that. Then we drill deeper and live daily lives hungry to bring glory to God and joy to others. As I asked that question a second ago, what type of witness do you want to be? We cannot grasp the type of witness that we need to be or want to be or should be until we grasp God's story, the gospel story that changes lives. And when we see that story in God's word and we start to understand that God has a purpose and plan for our life and He has called us to be a witness for Him, and we understand that He has given us gifts and talents and the circumstances in our life, that's when we start to understand, man, I have a bigger purpose. It wasn't until I knew Jesus as my Savior that I realized the purpose that I had in life. And I think as you grasp who Jesus is, like this passage is talking about, you start to understand, man, God has an amazing purpose for you. And it's not just to have a job and to make money and to have a house and a car and a family here on earth. That's not His purpose for you. Now, that may be part of His plan for you, but that's not His purpose for you. His purpose is for you to know Him and to make Him known in this world, bringing Him glory and honor. That's our purpose. Every single one of us, that is our purpose. And so I hope that we will hunger to fulfill the purpose. You ever had somebody ask the question, I want to find God's will in life. How do I do that? How do I find God's will for my life? Anybody ever asked that before? I have. I'm sure you've been asked that by other people or have heard people have a conversation about this before. But I read this passage and it just really revealed how much we just skip over what we already know God's will is. When we start to discuss, okay, what is God's plan for my life? How do I proclaim Him to those around us? It starts to bring about a discussion of finding God's will for our life. God's will is not lost. God's will is not lost for your life. Get that. God's will is not lost. You find God's will by doing what you know God's will is. And central to that is the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We know those are both given to us to do as all believers. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And as we start to fulfill that, then God's will is revealed in our life. And we know these passages and read them over the last several weeks, but I just want to reiterate these again. In Matthew 22, 36 through 40, Jesus asked the question, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus responds, He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Is that a pursuit of our life? To love God with everything we are and to love our neighbor as ourself. Many times we ask God, what is your will? I'm really seeking your will. I want you to know my will. I want to know your will for my life. God's will is that we love Him with all we are and love our neighbor as ourself. And out of that, this flows, the Great Commission. And Jesus came near them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We hear that passage. We've heard it throughout our lives. There is so much more in that passage. If we dig down deeper and we understand that in verse 18, Jesus is pointing out His authority. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. That is authority over our lives, and that is authority over those around us that we'll be sharing with. Because he has full authority, he has then commanded us to go, therefore, and make disciples. Because of his authority, he has every right to say to you and me, because he is the creator of us, and he has full authority, he says to you, go, therefore. Because of my authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And so what do we teach them? We teach them God's word. That's why we come together as disciples of Christ, to come together to learn from God's word. And so then we also have the authority, we have the command in verse 19, and then we have verse 20, that this whole thing is achievable. Verse 20 says, I am with you always to the end of the age. The one who has full authority is with us. He is with us to the very end. And because of that, this command he has given us, we can achieve it. Not because of my strength, not because of your strength. We're not going to change someone's heart. The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts. The Holy Spirit's the one who changes. What we need to do is be faithful to go, therefore make disciples. And so that includes your coworkers and your neighbors and your family and your friends. And like we talked about last week, person X that you may just encounter, to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we cannot forget this. As we're seeking God's will, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be a witness to those around me? What is your vision for my life and sharing Jesus? This is it right here. Love God with all you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples. If we understand this and we start to live it out, then we'll start to understand God's will. I read this passage, and it's really true within this book, looking at getting pushed to this application. And many times, like it says here, we all learn best when we start to put things to practice. Jesus saved you to be a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples until Jesus returns. That's the goal. We don't drift into this. We don't drift into godliness. We need a push, and we need a plan. The push, hey, maybe we need to push each other. Hey, are we doing this? Accountability, where we're saying, hey, are we talking to people around us about Jesus? The push is God's word saying, hey, you need to get busy. The push is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, it's time to start applying what you know to be true that I've taught you through Scripture. Let's get busy. Let's do it. But what about a plan? You think about Moses, you think about the push that he got, and when he was talking to Christ, when he was talking to Christ in the bush, the burning bush, he was talking to God there, and he's talking, and he's like coming up with excuse after excuse. I can't do this. I can't go to Egypt. I can't even talk. What are you talking about? And God's telling him, hey, go. And he tells him over and over and over, go. And he finally is like, okay, then every excuse you have, I'm going to have an answer for. So you're out of excuses, go. And if we come up with excuse after excuse for God of why we can't do it, I guarantee there's an answer for every single excuse in Scripture. So now it's time to just go. It's time to go and make disciples. We're best pushed to do what we are most passionate about. Are we passionate about those around us becoming disciples of Christ? Witnessing means more than passing on information that helps people see the very meaning and essence of life and reality. Our desire to share Jesus with people is not because we want to convert them, but because we are converted. We become passionate about sharing Jesus when we become passionate about the Jesus who lives in us. And so, great question to all of us is, are we passionate about Jesus? And are we passionate about making disciples of those around us? if we're not passionate about Jesus, if he's just another area of our life and not the whole reason for life, then we're not really going to care about sharing him. Remember last week we talked about the question of someone asking us, you know, or seeing our life, and they saying, you know what, you say you're a believer, but you've never even shared Jesus with me. So how important could Jesus really be to you? That's a challenging question. How important could he really be to us if we never share him with those around us? So here's a plan. Man, you may look at your life and go, man, I want to share Jesus. I really want to have this plan to share Jesus in my life. So how do I develop a plan to do this? Well, I'm going to give you simple principles to kind of set you on your journey for sharing Jesus with those around us. First of all, you need to focus your life on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? In order to share Jesus Christ, you need to know the gospel. And so that is in every area of our life, whether spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, every area of our life, is Jesus Lord of our life? And that's our time as well. And so spending time in our daily devotions, spending time in prayer, spending time in God's word, in conversations about Jesus, is huge for us to understand the gospel message. And so focusing our life on that and saying, God, I want to follow you in my physical life, my spiritual life, my emotional life, my relational life, my financial life, every area of my life. You teach me, God, what you want me to do in every aspect of my life through your word. And so guide me, Lord. It's all yours. And so we start to get into God's word and we start to submit to the Holy Spirit's leading as we read. And we see God has called us to do this. And God has called us to let's say, just go on the opposite page, love our enemies and love our neighbors. And they're just reading through the Sermon on the Mount, all the aspects of things we're called to do within. Just that passage that many times we skip and don't apply. And so I want to encourage you to daily spend some time in God's Word. And if you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. Get back at it. Get into God's word so that we can grow. Secondly, we need to start, in order to focus our life on the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to share Jesus regularly with ourselves. And I was trying to think, okay, how do we do this on a regular basis other than, you know, we talked about several weeks ago and you know, just proclaiming the gospel message through creation, the fall, redemption, all those things, okay? Yes, that's a good way to do it. But I found this prayer, and it's a good way to just kind of remind yourself of the gospel message through prayer. And I want to encourage you to maybe start praying this week. And so that you start through your devotion time and your prayer life sharing the gospel with yourself. And so it says this, because I am in Christ, there is nothing I have done that could make you love me less, and nothing I can do that will make you love me more. Realize that. When we realize Christ's amazing love for us, that propels us to be a witness for him. Because I am in Christ, you are all I need for everlasting joy. All those things in the world that we think we need for joy, Jesus is all we need. Next, because I am in Christ, as you have been to me, so I will be to others. You know, I read that one and I spent some time just focusing on that one when I was praying through this week. And I came up with a list of just seven quick responses. Seven quick responses of what this looks like. And maybe it's just one a day that you start to apply. As you have been to me, so I will be to others. Jesus, you have been forgiveness for me, so I will be a forgiver of others. Jesus, you have been hope for me, so I will hold out hope to others. Jesus, you have been life for me, so I will proclaim life in you to others. Jesus, you are a purpose giver to me, so I will live this purpose around others. Jesus, you have given me undeserved kindness, so I will show undeserved kindness to others. Jesus, you have given me undeserved love, so I will give undeserved love to others. Jesus, you have been a sacrificial giver, so I will give sacrificially. Your list could go on. And maybe every day as you start to pray this prayer, you list a new one. And you start to focus that day on living out the application of living out what Christ has done in your life to those around you. The fourth aspect of this prayer is, because I am in Christ, as I pray, I'll do so according to the compassion you've shown at the cross and the power you demonstrated through the resurrection. His compassion propels us to share Jesus. And the power of the resurrection lets us know that Jesus raises the dead, and so he can raise the dead spiritually as well. This is put out by J.D. Greer. It's just a great prayer. It's called the Gospel Prayer. And I would encourage you to start praying through that this week and join me in making that a daily priority to pray the gospel message to yourself so that you can then go out and live that out. So that was number one. Number two is, after, this is a simple plan, after we've focused on the gospel message, okay, the gospel message of Jesus Christ in our lives, we need to understand these factors that help us personally witness, okay? Our giftedness, our calling, and our deep satisfaction. And so in the book, he encourages you to make a list. He says, make a list with three columns. And I did this week, and here's mine. Make a list with three columns. One is giftedness column, one is your calling column, and one is deep satisfaction column. And if you can't take all these notes this week, I will send this out so you can do this later on. But he encourages us to make these three columns and then start to list out things that fall under our giftedness. And many times we think of giftedness only as like spiritual gifts and talents. And that's right where I jump right away, spiritual gifts and talents. But he lists a whole bunch of gifts that many times we don't think of as gifts in our lives. And so I want to encourage you to think through these. Yes, your giftedness, under giftedness, you would list your spiritual gifts, your talents, even your limitations. So I put dyslexia as a gift under giftedness, as well as other things. Even your limitations, lifts your education, your family, your relationships, your strengths, your personal characteristics, whether it's physical endurance or your empathy for something, your love for something, or your care for something. Things that enable you to do something effectively or empower you to do things that others cannot do. And so this is what falls under your giftedness, okay? Now, under calling, we would list great passions of your life. What are your passions? What are you passionate about? Things others have affirmed in you, like compassion, a love for the broken, a desire to teach the word, or so on, something else that somebody else has pointed out in you. Here's another question. What would you do for free? Somebody would say, take a nap. Ben said he could hit his head hits the pillow, he falls asleep. I have that same skill. Maybe it's a pastor skill. I don't know. But yeah. What would you do for free? What is that thing you feel you must do with your life? What's that one thing you feel you've got to do this with your life? but those under calling. And then, under deep satisfaction, we're talking about what are the things that bring you the greatest joy in life. Ultimately, our greatest satisfaction will come in Jesus alone. But God has placed within us things that bring satisfaction. There are things in you that bring deeper satisfaction than they ever would in me. We're all wired a little bit differently. Now, when you list these out, you'll notice that in several of the columns, many of them are the same. And when you actually, if you would put them in a circle diagram, you would see that maybe your giftedness and calling overlap, and your deep satisfaction and giftedness and calling, they overlap. But in the center here, there'll be several that are the same for all of them. These are key areas that you need to start developing conversations in. You need to start applying within the church body and outside the church to proclaim Jesus around you. And so maybe your passion is music, and it was across all of them. You have a gift in music. You feel like, man, I've got a calling. I would lead music. I would talk about music, or I would share music, or I'd listen to music for free. Man, music just brings me deep satisfaction. It's just a simple one to throw out there. And so now, if music is across the board for you, then you need to start plugging into the church in the music. You need to start using your gift of music or your love for music to proclaim Christ to those around you. And so start plugging to areas around the culture that music is talked about or shared or played, and so that you can use those to easily talk about Christ, the one who gave us the ability to play music. Maybe you're a gifted builder and you would build something for free. And when you're finished building something, it brings you amazing satisfaction. You could go on and go on. Use these gifts God has given you within the church body, outside of the church body, to proclaim Jesus and to use them to create friendships and conversations with those around you. We could go on and on and on about that. When I was a teenager, the gifts I have today were not the gifts I had then. And so God starts to develop gifts within us. If you told me as a teenager that I would be up here speaking on a weekly basis, I would say, ha! Yeah, right. No way. Not a chance. God develops in us, even amongst people that think they will never do that. He stretches us. And so realize that just your gifts will change throughout your life too. And so this is a good way to start to develop those gifts you have currently, to go into gospel conversations and to serve within the church and outside the church for the honor and glory of God. But it's also a good way to continually do this yearly, where you start to apply this. Okay, wait, it's a new year. Let me fill this out again. Let me look where I'm at now. And so I want to encourage you to do this. Next. Maybe. There we go. The next simple principle for us to set on a journey for sharing Christ is this. From the concentric circles, remember those last week? That one there? Okay, we're going to get that in a second. Concentric circles exercise from last week. Identify your circles of influence and the people you already know who don't know Christ. Okay? After you have identified these, what we would like to do after that is to start to find ways to bring joy to their lives and to connect a conversation about Christ. And so identifying them and start to develop a realistic plan of how you can sit down with this person and share Christ with them. So, here's an example. Yourself is the middle. Your family, this is your immediate family. Then we have relatives, distant relatives, friends. Let's say that you have a son or daughter who does not know Christ. Or you have a very close friend that does not know Christ. You start to pray now. God, help me to have these conversations with them. God, start to soften their hearts so that they can come to know you. Give me wisdom to share you with those around me. And especially this person that I'm praying about, whether it's Bob or Sue or Steve or whoever it may be. And as you do this, you start to think of, okay, how can I bring joy into their life? What would bring them great joy? Man, I know they really like cookies. Or I know they really like this band. Or I know that they really like a great cup of coffee. And so you find ways to care for them and bring them joy. Whether it's you invite them out to go have a cup of coffee, or you bring them cookies, or you take them to a concert, or whatever it may be, and you try to develop a way to, hey, I want to take you there, and I want to be a part of this with you, and you together go and do this. And then during that time, whether it's on the way to the concert, or at the concert, or after the concert, or whether it's during the cup of coffee and a cookie, or whatever it may be, you then connect Christ to the conversation you're having. And so come up with a plan to reach each of those people. This week, I spent a half an hour in Lowe's with person X. Person X came up to me and just started talking about, I was wearing my Detroit hat like normal, and they were from Detroit, have lived here since 1979. I didn't tell them I was born in 79, but they've lived here since 79. And so they just started talking about Detroit and their favorite teams, and it led into military life. He had been in the military. Then it led into a sickness he had had in later in life and how he came to know Jesus during that sickness. And so his conversation, he took it to me to talk about Jesus. And so we were openly talking about Jesus, and it was so amazing. This guy came up to me to share his salvation that was in Christ alone. And he didn't take it to a gospel presentation. He just started talking about Jesus right there. And I was person X. So here's your example. Go and be that to the people around us as we find ways to share our life story, to take it to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You can do it. It's very possible. And we can do it. Why? Because the one who has full authority and all heaven and all of earth has commanded us to go and do it. And so know it's possible. And then number four, pray daily for your witness and for those whom you'll witness. Salvation is a spiritual work. Nothing can substitute for prayer. And so prayer shows your reliance on God in this. Prayer shows that you know that he is the one who does the work and it's not yourself. And so, yes, you do need to study and understand scripture, but you need to pray as well. Because if you're just studying and understanding scripture and then going out without going to God at all, then you're basically relying on your knowledge to change that person and not God. And so rely on God to do the changing, not you. So, question is this. How, and it's not up there, I know. How will you apply these four? How will you start to put them into practice? Will you start to get into God's word daily? Will you start to break down those four prayer areas of the gospel and pray the gospel to yourself daily, pointing out the things that God has done in your life as you're praising him for them? Will you start to understand your giftedness and go home and fill out a column sheet and just, it's really easy. You know, it took me 5-10 minutes to really seek to answer each of the questions there, and I'll send these out. Will you start to look at your circle of influence and start to think, who can I witness to? Who doesn't know Jesus? And then start to pray for them by name and to pray for your witness on a daily basis. And then challenge yourself with a plan. I'm going to do this. By next week, I'm going to call up whatever their name is, and I'm going to make the appointment to meet with them, to share with them, and don't say, hey, can I just come over and just share Jesus with you? I mean, if you want to, go for it. But try to like, hey, find a way to bring joy in their life. Hey, would you go get a bite to eat with me? And bring that into a gospel conversation. And so start to think, man, I want to do this once a week with those around me. I want to challenge myself that I will share Jesus with somebody once a week. Whether that's person X, whether that's a family member, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, whoever it may be, once a week I'm going to share Jesus with someone. Plan for that. I used to have, still pastor friends of mine, but there was some guys that I knew that were in Iron Mountain, Michigan, and they were co-pastors of a church plant. And so they had two pastors in this church plant. And they had an accountability that they had with each other that they would share Jesus once a day with someone. And then they would talk to each other about that. That was their plan. And that's what they did. When I was in high school, after I came to know Christ, this is shooting low here, but as far as like I should have gone a lot higher with my expectations of myself. But I challenged myself to invite 3 people a week to church. And because it's easy to do. Hey, would you come to church with me? And just through that simple thing, our youth ministry grew from like 5 people to 20-something people. And so just a simple thing of saying, hey, I'm going to invite people to church. Well, I should have been challenging myself to say, I want to share Jesus with 3 people a week so that they can come to know Christ. That's what I should have been doing. And so how are you going to do this? How are you going to make this plan? And if it's just to invite people to church, go for it. Start with that. Because that will lead into a conversation. You want me to go to church with you? Why would you want me to go to church with you? I haven't been to church. Are you sure the church won't catch on fire? The roof will not fall in. Because I'm pretty sure the church will get struck by lightning if I come to church. I've heard that over and over and over. If Jesus struck the church with lightning every time a sinner entered, be a lot of lightning. There you go. Because we all entered and the church didn't get struck. Thank you. So, going on. Maybe. Can you hit the advance button in the sound back there? It's not working. There we go. It's really not where you are that matters. It's where you're heading. This study aims to change your trajectory as far as where you're going as a witness, and through this to grow as a Christ follower. It means you will think and live like a missionary every day of your life, regardless of your location or vocation. That's the goal of the study. There's a video that goes along with the study, and we didn't do them, obviously. But he asks a question at the very beginning of this video, or tells a story at the very beginning of this video. Him and his wife planted a pecan grove at their house. And he asked the person who was coming in to plant the trees, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? And the guy answered him 20 years ago. And then he said, well, when's the second best time? And he said, today. The best time to start sharing Jesus is the day that you get saved. The second best time, today. Start today. And so we go back to that prayer that we had the first week, and I hope you'll continue to pray this prayer. God, give me this day an opportunity to share Christ, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. Let's pray. Lord, through this study, we've been challenged. Through this study, we've heard many just life applications that we can start to apply. But Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us not to hear this and then just walk out the door and get right back in the same routine we've always had. Lord, to do the same thing over and over and over, to expect change, it doesn't work out. I've heard that called insanity before. So Lord, help us to start to adjust some things in our life. Spend time with you. To dedicate those around us that are lost to prayer. to look at the gifts you've given us and try to connect those gifts and those the calling and the passions we have to sharing you with those around us. Lord, I pray that you help us to honestly look at our lives and say, what do I need to change to be a light for you? And maybe we have been living for you, but we've never opened our mouth. So help us to do that. Or maybe we proclaim you, but our life has not been showing you. And so, Lord, convict us and help us to do that. But Lord, in the end, whether wherever we're at now, Lord, may we start today to both live for you as a light and proclaim you as a light to this world through our daily conversations with those around us, to share the grace we know, the hope we know, the life we know that's found in you with all those around us. We pray this all in your name because we know that only through you will lives ever change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.